Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Online, on your mobile, and on FM.
From the home of time.
This is Maritime Radio, Greenwich.
Charles and Lyle. Charles and Lyle.
Delivery, Chalnacott, Bauer, Pierce up from the back, McGuinness, Concert also in there, Holmes is a decent ball, it was Pierce,
Jason Pierce throws superbly,
with a lovely header, great corner from Ricky Holmes, Jason Pierce converts for the Addicts.
Some men call the spades, listen now.
Ricky Holmes, it will be to take. Chalney hits it, lovely.
Oh, that's it. What a goal! What a goal!
Ricky Holmes doubles the Addicts' lead with a lovely free kick, perfectly hit over the wall. Holy went across, he couldn't get onto the end of it. And Charlton racing to a two goal lead.
Wasn't very gay, I didn't mind. I was a money man anyway. They killed a mother's child on TV.
Byrne finds Forster Caskey, releases Ricky Holmes on the right-hand side. He's got space to move into. And Byrne is tanking away on his outside. Will he feed him? No, he comes inside on his left foot to the centre position. Being forced further wide, he just can't pull the trigger. Ricky Holmes, but he's still on the ball. Now, right across to this near side. Does get a cross in, looking for Bataka, who gets the ball. Edge of the six-yard box, feeds it back to McGuinness. And there's the finish!
What a goal!
And just McGuinness has buried Charlton's number three. Superb work from both sides of the field. From Ricky Holmes, great work from Bataka, teed up McGuinness, Charlton are 3-0 up. Joe Rebo will pursue it, but here's the final whistle, and Charlton have inflicted a 3-0 defeat to the Kent neighbours, Gillingham. You get the feeling that that result has certainly stopped or prevented any further worries for Charlton.
Stay up. Good evening and welcome to Charlton Live. This is the big match preview. My name is Louis Mendez here at the Valley on Maritime Radio. Joining me in the studio, Mr. Tom Wallin. How are you doing, Tom?
Yeah, good.
Yeah?
Safe.
Safe as houses, as the saying goes. Not Russell Slade's ones, obviously. Nathan, how are you doing? Nathan.
Living the dream, mate.
Yeah, I nearly called you Nathan Byrne there, but you are not Nathan Byrne, you're Nathan Miller.
Get me boots on. I'll show you the pace, mate.
Yeah, it's the pace that got me.
Off drinking.
Living the dream, I imagine.
Now we're safe. We're safe and we can try and finish, you know, just outside playoffs. You never know. Yeah.
Well,
I don't know if that's mathematically possible, actually.
Well, it depends.
We're finishing top of our 12-team group or wherever it's gone to.
Depends how wide your explanation of the word just is. Yeah, like, just outside playoffs, 15th, same thing.
Isn't it? But we're top of our league, as Cole said, so we've got something to celebrate, haven't we?
Yeah, exactly. Closer to the playoffs than Coventry or Chesterfield, for example. Chesterfield, of course, the opponents will be looking forward to playing up at the, what's their stadium, the Proact, is that them? On Saturday? Some muggy little League One stadium. Yeah. But the rest of them we have to play in up on Saturday at Chesterfield. So on tonight's show, we are, of course, going to look back at that wonderful win against Gillingham. It is a win against Gillingham in the red hot Kent derby, as we all know. We've all come through it unscathed. Yeah, I know I saw Tom throwing a few punches, but
I came out unscathed.
Yeah,
a few others didn't.
Yeah, you should see the ovens. Yeah,
the
flares.
Yeah, so we're going to hear from exclusively from Carl Robinson. We're also going to hear from Nathan Byrne / Muller on that one. We're going to reveal. We've got an interview on Sunday's show, an exciting interview. So I'm going to reveal who that is later on in the show. Yeah, stay tuned in for that. We're going to have updates on the transfer on the takeover rumours, if there is one. Really, there isn't really, but we'll talk about what we know. Talk about what Cardiff got planned for the Swindon game, and of course we'll look ahead To the game with Chesterfield on Saturday. Not hearing from Carl Robinson because he's delayed his press day. I don't think the players are in for training until tomorrow. I think that's why, but I'm sort of trying to remember something I half heard on Monday, so I might be wrong. But there we go. But yeah, 3-0 victory over Gillingham, Tom, and job done.
Yeah, job done, exactly. Well,
the job we set ourselves.
Yeah. Obviously, start of the season, it wasn't the job we wanted to complete, but you know, where we were a month or two ago, it's a good thing. I thought Gillingham were pretty poor, to be honest. But having said that, they had enough chances to win the game three times over. But for the first time in ages, we were clinical with our chances. Ricky Holmes was fantastic. Crofts even didn't have a bad game, which was a turn up for the books. We got over the line and, as I say, coming into this week, that's the best we could hope for, unfortunately. But as you say, job done, and it's the first time I've been happy to lose a bet, because that one I had for relegation is obviously not.
Have all three of us lost money on that? I have.
Yeah,
we've all lost. I've lost a five. Not exactly two.
So yeah, job done. Let's put the season behind us now. Get through these last two games and move on.
Yeah, so party time for the rest of the season. Mm. Nath, you were there, of course, on Monday. What did you make of the performance and the result? I guess at times, I mean, if Cody McDonald, he's got 12 goals for Gillingham this season. If he had his shooting boots on, he would have had 16 at the end of the game, because he missed four sitters that I would have scored.
He shouldn't have been on the pitch anyway, the cheating little farmer, whatever he is. Oh, man. But yeah, no, they had. They did have a few chances, to say the least, but like Carl said, on other days they might not have been so lucky, but
we've had that go against us in different games as well, so
I mean, it all sort of turns out at the end, but no, I thought I actually quite enjoyed it. I felt really comfortable, which is a really weird feeling. Unusual. Sitting there knowing that you're not going to lose. Even at 2-0, I still thought we was going to win the game.
It's just their finishing was woeful, wasn't it? And like I say, Cody McDonald, he missed that sitter where he's played through, I think, by Lee Martin early on, and he hit it into the side. And he got booed off by his own supporters there, Lee Martin, at the end, which was a shame to see, really, because he weren't too bad when he played for us about 5 years ago, 6 years ago, but there you go. And then we take the lead, and Jason Pearce, I mean, what a difference he's made to the side since he's come back from injury, and he's capped his good performances over the last few weeks with his first ever goal for the club.
Yeah, if anyone deserved a goal, it was him, because he has had a tough time away with injury. I think he said it's his first serious injury in his career, if I'm right in saying. And obviously he's not just up and coming now, you know, he's been around for a few years, but yeah, I thought he played really well since he's come back into the side. I know we have still conceded goals, but on the whole, the defence has looked a lot more organised. And then, to get a goal, as I say, Holmes, I thought, was awesome all game, and it was his free kick that was good, but Pearce rose highest, and great for him, and you could see what it meant to him with his celebration as well.
Yeah, now I remember when we had Johan Berg Gudmundsson banging him in from outside the box for dead ball situations a couple of years ago, that Guy Luzon described him as the championship David Beckham. So is Ricky Holmes the League One Johan Berg Gudmundsson?
I'd probably say he's the League One David Beckham. he just keeps doing it, doesn't he? And he's does it week after week. But it's not only technically; it's his effort as well, and how he creates. Obviously, like Josh's third, like Josh's goal, you know, he creates for others. So, and I think we're going to have probably go into it later, but a testing time trying to keep hold of him.
Mm.
In my opinion, he should be the one who wins Player of the Year hands down.
Yeah, I'll be shocked if he doesn't.
He done it consistently in that spell where he was out injured. Even though the results didn't go as bad as I thought they were going to go, you can tell how much we missed him and how much we need. Without him this year, I don't even want to think about where.
You think about where we'd be with 11 fewer goals. I mean, I'm sure every team could say that about one player, but you know, for the situation we found ourselves in, the fact that it was him, that he has been a catalyst for most of our good stuff. I mean, even at sort of 1-0 and 2-0 on Monday, there were chances again for you. Again, Cody McDonald, this time, ball sort of broke for him on the edge of the 6-yard box, all swing, no ding. Complete air shot. And then right on the stroke of half time, I think it was Cornick was coming in for a header. McDonald gets in his way, heads it wide. So, on another day, I mean, you go in 2-0 up and happy, but that's probably, I mean, I don't think we dominated. I think we were much more clinical, and that's the sort of the being clinical is something that we haven't done all season, apart from Bristol Rovers at home and away for some reason.
Yeah, I think it was two things. It was being clinical and the luck going our way for a change, and it hasn't on a lot of occasions. And As I said at the start, I don't think Gillingham were very good, but at the same time, they had enough chances to win the game comfortably. But they didn't put those chances away, and we did. And it really was as simple as that. And as Nafe says, although they'd had all those chances, I never really felt like we were in any danger. It always felt like if they did score one, we'd be able to score a couple more. And when we're on that sort of form, it's nice to kind of relax and enjoy the football, whereas more often than not, that hasn't been the case this season.
So then after the break, it was that run from Ricky Holmes, which sort of sums up his sort of work rate, about how he's, in terms of effort, he's the one, he does seem to be the one who puts in the most running yards and that sort of thing. Skill on the ball, he was able to run forever with it. I think some of us are probably screaming for him to release it slightly before he did, or have a pop shot, but he held on to it. His perseverance kept him going, and that was what created the space in the penalty area for Jordan Botarka. Completely unmarked. I mean, defending for this third goal was awful once he got into the box, but he had a two on one inside the 6 yard box, which Botarka then, McGuinness obviously peels off and Botarka squares it. McGuinness sticks it in the top corner. First goal for him since January the 2nd, when he got his hat-trick against Bristol Rovers. Now, it's interesting when you think about it, because I remember during that game thinking, you know, obviously Ricky Holmes was at that point, thinking there's no other candidate really for player of the season at that point of the season, with Lookman on the move. So how far his season has tailed off since then has been a bit of a surprise. So it's nice to see him back on the score sheet.
Yeah, no, he'd done... I thought Botarka was going to shoot, but I was glad he actually passed it, because I don't think he would have scored. But but no, it was nice to see him score. Like you say, it's the first one since Bristol. I think since the Bristol game, we was playing him when I don't think he was fit. It seems like we was trying to rush him back because we didn't really have any other alternative. Apart, you know, Big Nose weren't as exactly fit and firing in all cylinders. And then you've got, obviously, the young gun, so I think we rushed him back a little bit too soon as an out-and-out forward, because it's the only thing we've got. So he has tailed off, but yeah, it was nice to see him again. It was nice to see him control things. I mean, the game before, he couldn't trap a bag of cement, if I remember rightly. He just couldn't hold the ball up. You know, it was so predictable. But I thought he'd done really well on, Saturday, then on Monday, brought others into playing that. So yeah, nice for him to get on the score sheet and then see what happens in the summer, don't we?
Yeah, I mean, plenty of players who stood out on Monday's game, Easter Monday's game. I think one that we've all mentioned off air, Jay De Silva. He looked particularly lively on Monday, and it begs the question, I guess, why I just can't understand why he wasn't really being played earlier. I know he's not going to be our player going forward, so that might, you know, colour your thinking. But if that's the case, then what's the point of bringing him in here anyway?
Yeah, I completely agree. I think when Chixon's come in at left back, I think he's been really good, but aside from that, I think we've struggled to fill that position really, and obviously Chixon was out injured, so it was a mystery. I think every game pretty much since he's come in, he's been unbelievable, and he just isn't afraid to go forward. You know, the formation we play, especially when we're at home, when he gets the ball in that left back spot, there's a lot of time where he has a lot of grass in front of him. And it'd be easy, you know, we've had other left backs who will just pass it, but he wants to run on, and he's not afraid to then take players on. You know, he trusts his pace, he trusts his skill, and he trusts his other defenders to cover him if something does go wrong higher up the pitch. And that attacking threat, especially when we play the narrow diamond, allows those midfielders to get in the box and help McGuinness as well. And I think he's been fantastic. As you say, I doubt he's going to stick around after this season, but he's been really good since he's come in. And I think it was Ian Wright who said he's the next big left back for England, and you can see why he said that.
I mean, that is the question, I guess, in terms of next season. I mean, he's on loan. He's one of the 50 million players on loan from Chelsea to another club. He's not going to get in the Chelsea first team. I mean, he's still young, he's still quite slight. I mean, another season in League One, or is he going to be loaned out to a Championship club? Is he going to look to move on from Chelsea because he's not getting in the Chelsea team, obviously? What do you reckon?
I think he'll be here next year, you know. I think Chelsea will be mad to try and sort of gauge from what 4 appearances that he's going to be a starter in a Championship team. And even if he does go to a Championship team, he's probably going to play less than he will here. So if Robbo wanted him here, I think Chelsea would agree to it, providing he's playing. Because the only thing I was thinking that he wasn't getting a game was probably, like you said, because of his height, and maybe he was going to be a bit of a target for, you know, big forwards peeling off for crossfield balls. But he can half jump for a little. He's tiny. I didn't really realise how small he is.
Good jump for the tunnel jump as well, isn't
it? Yeah, exactly. So that's what I mean. So, I mean, I hope he stays. Like Tom said, last four games, I think he's been at least in the top two of our best players by far.
Freddie Saunders has tweeted in saying, because I mentioned we're going to have I'm going to reveal our exciting interview for Sunday's show later on. He says, oh, is it to do with the takeover? No, it's not. So don't get your hopes up on that one, Freddie. So anyway, like, final whistle goes. I mean, the way the results were, Port Vale and Bury could have both caught us until Bury played the next day, in which case now they can't. Port Vale still can, but because Bury can't, all the permutations are off the table. We're safe, barring some sort of bizarre points deduction or something. I'm ruling out nothing under this administration. but we're safe now. So, I mean, start of the season, I remember thinking playoffs, absolute minimum. Absolute minimum. Now, you know,
we're taking that.
We're taking safe in League One. we've had to accept safety in League One. I mean, you know, in terms of, you know, as players, you can't go into a season with expectations of, you know, we're going to muller this lot. Mm. I mean, although you did say, I remember the other week, Tom, you said we should do, because that gives you that confidence. But, you know, as fans, at least, you can go into a season expecting better than what we've got this season.
Yeah, and I think rightly so, we all did. You look at the squad of players, you look at the pre-season expectations, you look at the manager we brought in. I think all of us expected certainly a better start to the season, and obviously a better final position. But as the season goes on, you obviously have to reassess those goals, because things just become impossible. And as it is, where we've been, as I say, for the last month, 6 weeks, this is as good as we could hope for, is surviving in League One. Is that what we'd take? Absolutely not. It's been an awful season. I don't think we're going to kid anybody and say that that's a good result. But given the last 6 weeks, we've done the best we can. We're staying up. But we, as I said the other week, we have to go into next season being a bit more arrogant and trying to brush teams aside, because we've shown on our day we can do it. And yeah, Bristol Rovers, Shrewsbury at home and Gillingham the other day weren't brilliant, but we're able to do it when we've got players on their game and we play like that, and we just need to do it more often and have a bit of a swagger about our game, because we haven't really shown that enough this season. And when we have, we've put teams away.
Yeah, I mean, the question then is, if you want to try and take anything from this season into next season and try and say that, you know, we've got the players for him, and obviously the spine of the team. When you always look at the, you always talk about the spine of the team, don't you? The goalkeeper's Declan Rudd. Is he going to be here next season? We don't know. I mean, he hasn't signed a new contract with Norwich yet. It's a possibility, but there's other. I'm sure there's going to be plenty of options on the table for him. If you look at the defence, okay, Jason Pearce. Hopefully, if now he's back, hopefully he'll go all season without an injury. But if you look at central defensive partner, you know, look at Tex and Bauer. You'd imagine at least one of them is probably going to go. Mm. Probably Tex. Bowie, you're not even too sure about. He hasn't looked too happy this season, has he? And then you go into the centre of midfield. Mr. Way, Crofts, he's going to go, in my opinion. I think he was on a one-year contract. I don't think he's going to get another one. Mm. Jackson, he's not been playing every game. And who else is in the centre of midfield that's going to...
Olves is on loan.
So he's going to go back. And then
JFC, you've got in a permanent, haven't you?
Yeah, yeah,
he's
so...
He's the one.
But he hasn't exactly been starting all, every game, has he?
No. Kashi's still got a couple of years left.
God knows what he is. Has he still got any legs, though? And then you're looking up front. Okay, McGuinness, he's probably going to be here next season. But I think around that, I think he's Novak. I think Novak's on a 2-year deal, but he's not. I don't think I've seen enough from him to suggest that he's going to fire us.
I don't trust him being spine of the team.
Yeah. So Tony Watt again. He's got another year on his deal, but is he going to be the man? The way he's played this season, probably not. So it's no matter what you look at games or single games this season, most of these players are off. Half of them aren't good enough anyway. It's another complete rebuild.
Yeah, that's what I mean. When you add them all up, people going back, Bernie's going back, De Silva might be going back. You look at it, you're gonna need another massive 13 players again. Otherwise, we're gonna do the same. We're gonna be in the same situation as earlier this season, where we had like two central midfielders stretched to the limits, and we couldn't change it. And then so now this is where they learn from their mistakes, like we always hear. Yeah, this is where you learn and go, our squad wasn't big enough. I'm not saying you've got to spend 5 million on a player, but you've got to have a decent competitive squad. And Robbo said that he knows the problems, he knows what he needs to do, so obviously he's got a job on his hands, so that's what he's got to do.
Well, we're about to hear from Carl Robinson now. I don't know if Terry's asked the same sort of stuff. In the BBC interview on Monday, I sort of said, you know, have you been speaking with the owners? That was just a leading question, because I know he probably would have in terms of... And then I said, are they going to deliver? And he said, well, I've been told they will. Now, whether they do or not, is the proof is in the pudding. I mean, obviously, the main hope is that for a lot of fans, it seems that they ain't here to try and mess anything up anyway. Mm. But if they are still here, then they have to deliver better than they have done every other time, and every other time hasn't been good enough.
100%, yeah. And, yeah, when I say that we need to have this arrogance and this swagger next year, I don't think that's going to be easy to cultivate at all, particularly, as you say, because we're going to lose a lot of that spine of the team. But... And it was a bit of a unique situation, but when we had Chris Powell in here and we made all those changes, we were still able to dominate this league. So it does show that even with changes, you can do it. I'm not saying that Carl Robinson's going to be able to do exactly the same thing. Of course not. But with the right team and with the right manager and with the right, like a decent squad, like Nafe says, it can be done in this league. Sheffield United have shown it this year. I know they've got a bit more of a spine to their team, but it is possible to run away with this league. We've done it once, they've done it this season.
Wolves done it, Reading done it, I think. Yeah. These leagues have been...
It can happen, and yeah. It's just got to be. One of those teams has got to stand up and say, we're the ones who's going to do it. And I don't think even from the first game of this season, we really ever looked like we were that team to do it. We all just looked a bit nervous and a bit like, oh, we're back down here again for those that have been down here. And it was just, it never started... Right, and we never managed to turn that around.
Well, you're right. If you compare and contrast the first game of this season when we lost to Bury and the first game of the Bournemouth season when we won this league, we were 101 points. Jeez, I mean, that's two very different performances and results. Right, let's hear from Carl Robson. Came and speak to Terry after Monday's game, the 3-0 win over Gillingham in the red-hot Kent derby.
Joined in the studio by Carl Robinson after a decent 3-0 result and, more importantly, a good shift by pretty much everybody in a red shirt.
Yeah, I don't think I can ask any more of the players today. I thought we were all with our luck at times, but I thought our attitude and our mentality since the MK Dons game, we sat here 10 days ago, more, 2 weeks tomorrow. I'm on the lowest points in my career. I took club back to this, put a performance in like that against your old team, it's not a nice place to be. But since then, the players have really, really responded, and the players were excellent today.
And is that probably sum up the frustration of the season? So I guess because you know you got a side that doesn't differ that much from other you know other sides that have lost games, virtually the same group of players, maybe tweaking a little bit here and there, but generally same set of players, and they put in a performance like that. And the same set of players, let's say Coventry last week, who just didn't quite manage to put in that level of performance.
Yeah, but as for lower levels of English football, in some ways it's League One. The unpredictability of performance output is always inconsistent. But I think one thing you can never question is the attitude of the players. It should always be constant. And listen, today is one that I know fans were worried about going down and everything else, and a lot of people were getting nervous, but... At least people can hopefully just relax for a little bit now and really look forward to hopefully a brighter future and a more competitive team at the top of the table rather than all this rubbish waiting down the bottom of it, because we shouldn't be. I'm jealous watching other teams getting promoted. That's not can't be good.
No, I guess that. I mean, it's the type of end of season where you look at. I mean, aside from a set of quite extraordinary results, we should be comfortable for next season. But you look at sides at the top of the table all celebrating going up, and that must add to the frustration.
Yeah, I just watched Portsmouth going up there, and I know Cookie very well, and I made up for him. But I know it's actually 2 to League One, but still, I want the pitch to be invaded by fans through joyous celebrations of promotion. That's what I want to see, because I've seen this place not yet full and rocking what I've been told is a special place to be a part of. And I really want it that way, because when it's only half full or whatever it may be, if that's what we can do, imagine what we can do if we're really all together and really competing against teams in our league and pushing ourselves at the top end of the table. It's going to be a very up and down roller coaster. Football league season is never easy. We have bad days, we have good days, we get frustrated and we get overly happy sometimes, but we have to find some sort of rhythm, and hopefully we can finish the season with a little bit more rhythm and really move forward now and look forward to the summer and have a good break and come back ready and ready to go.
Yeah, you mentioned a couple of times in recent weeks that you prefer to look upwards rather than down. Yeah. and there are teams to catch with two games to go, and that'll be the target, I guess.
Yeah, listen, if I'm being totally honest, obviously there's always an eye down there, although it wasn't, I tried to sort of talk to the player about looking up, but at some stages there always is that element of fear, obviously, and it's being human in some ways, but yeah, it'd be nice to catch one or two of them. I think we got close, only KFC one today. So I took us closest to them, I don't know how Northampton got on, but it'd be nice if we'd gone further away from now. I'm not too sure. I don't know how MK got on away to Southend. So hopefully we've pulled ourselves a little bit closer to the pack of us.
Yeah, we're in striking distance with a couple of teams above us now.
It's embarrassing we're talking like this, but I've got to give some sort of hope.
Does the game today, again, sort of encapsulate where we are, where 3-0 looks on the face of it to be very comfortable, but they had their moments, right?
Yeah, as I said before, it was poor finishing rather than great defending sometimes. I thought they should have had a penalty in the second half as well, and we got a little bit of luck. But do you know what, mate? We've been sat here and I've been moaning about we've played well today and not got nothing. And the Fleetwood game comes to mind. The Bury game here comes to mind. The Millwall game comes to mind. And we've been sat here wondering how we've not won. So today I'm not going to sit here wondering how we've won.
Well, I think it would decry away from what was it still a good performance from the
team. Yeah, listen, don't forget they've come to back of some decent results as well. And they came here. I was told that this is a big game for them. I didn't know that. But obviously they came here expecting to finish above us, didn't they? I don't know where that comes in. So they came down here thinking he could turn us over, and they thought they can go and get the result maybe. So it was nice to make sure that we stay in a healthy position to them. But I want to thank the players and the fans again. I thought they were excellent, and hopefully we'll... it's not a bad Easter weekend. 4 points over Easter, so you'd take that.
Indeed. Will you now be able to breathe a sigh of relief and then maybe look at tweaking things a little bit for the next two games?
Yes.
And do you then have an eye on what you're going to... you've already said that you've already got plans for next season, but I'm thinking more specifically. I mean, Jay De Silva, who had another outstanding game today, is on loan. You've got Declan Rudd in goal on loan. Are these the sort of players you might want to try and tie up?
Certain people that you're desperate to tie up, yeah. But certain people that maybe want to move on, and still things that we've got a lot of business to do, a lot of work to do. But we've started it. The owners give me the green light to go and do what I need to do, and you know me now. I'm not going to turn that offer down.
Well, look, enjoy the moment. Enjoy today.
See you, mate. Thank you.
We've got two games to go, and let's look up.
Thank you. Give me the slip.
Some people think I'm bonkers, but I just think I'm free.
It's been a delivery towards six off a barrel of the free header. It'll be tapped home again by Texera. It's 3-0. Again, it's a corner comes in from Jake Forsikowski at the back post. Bauer heads down and Texera gets the second of the game. Absolutely bonkers here. Bonkers.
Charlton Live.
From the home of time. Home of time. This is Maritime Radio. Greenwich.
Bring on Teixeira. Novak coming on was obvious. Janet Jackson coming on didn't surprise me. Putting him left back did. Janet Jackson coming on didn't surprise me. Janet Jackson coming on. Janet Jackson.
Charlton Live.
There we go, Carl Robinson speaking after the game against Gillingham. To Terry talks about Jay De Silva there, that sort of thing. Freddie Saunders said he liked how he was taking the mick out of Gillingham, thinking that Charlton is a big game. I mean, we had made that joke earlier on in the season as well. I mean, they did seem to think it was a big game, didn't they? They started singing, there's only one team in Kent. We're all going, yep.
Yeah, there
yep.
is.
That's a player there, mate.
That's you lot, that is. Yeah. I mean, obviously there's an argument for Bromley there, but yeah, I mean... Not a big game. I quite enjoyed. I mean, I have a Gillingham neighbour, which makes it slightly sweeter. But we're hardly at fisticuffs. Kind of thing about Charlton, the big Charlton Gillingham rivalry.
Technically, it's a derby in the sense that it's geographically fairly close.
Yeah, that's closer than Norwich and Ipswich.
Yeah. But historical, yeah. There's not, is there?
It's just a derby where a load of people living in the Medway prefer to come and watch Charlton and watch that.
Yeah.
That's all it is, really. Yeah. Yeah. And they've got the upper bags, they're pony. That's it is, literally.
Yeah, right, we heard from Carl there.
Sorry. Anyone living in Gillingham?
what were you making of his tenure now? I mean, his job when he came in wasn't to keep Charlton in the League One, was it? It was to push for the playoffs. I mean, so he hasn't achieved that by any stretch of the imagination. I've been fairly clear on that. In my view, he needs his summer and all this and that. There's been plenty of other fans out there. And to be honest, even when we were getting through that run recently, when I was sort of thinking, Jesus, I might have to change my tune soon here, because I mean, if he can't arrest a slump, then you're in big trouble. But he has... you know, last couple of games, the Coventry performance wasn't very good, but we've got the two results we needed now. He's got something out of this team. I mean, now, so for me, I think it's just about earn his summer to see what he can do. I mean, obviously with the backstory of all the owner and blah, 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 but if we say we were talking as a normal club, he's earned a summer to see what he can do, in my opinion.
Mm, yeah, I've defended him and stuck with him because, like you say, I think he deserves a summer to see who he can bring in. But I think it was only a couple of weeks ago on a Sunday show I was saying even I'm finding it hard to defend him when we were going through the middle of that appalling run. And you're right, what his remit was when he came in, he's nowhere near delivered that. And as I said before, we've had an awful season. But he's going to hopefully get that summer now, and let's see what he can do. And the problem is, if we get to November time next year and we're in the same rut again, do we get rid of him because he's had his summer then, he's got his players, or do we stick with him and see what happens next year as well? That'll be the difficulty. Hopefully that won't happen. Hopefully things over the summer will change, he'll get his players in, and we'll kick on next season.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
But, yeah, this hasn't been a good season. I don't think he's done as well as he would have hoped. Certainly not as well as we would have hoped. But I think he deserves a summer to see what he can do.
What about for you, Knife? Keep or delete?
No, I'll keep him. I've always been a stauncher for...
consistency,
but yeah, and my lookalike
scousers.
I think the thing is with Carl is the only criticism I had is when we was having those runs is he was trying to put square pegs in round holes. So he was adamant of playing this 4-2-3-1 of this fluid sort of way, which sounds great, but with the players that we've got, isn't going to work. And you know, we're not blessed with, you know, strikers who are going to bang goals in for fun, unfortunately, at the moment. Like, obviously, people improve. And I just think every time that we've played well, we've actually kept it quite basic. We've either gone to like a 4-4-2 or 4-4-1-1 or played this diamond shape. So, yeah, I mean, I think we should give him time, because we need to clear out a lot of players looking down this list. And then he does need the time, because otherwise we get rid of him, someone else is going to have to come in and do the same thing again, and they're going to have another manager and try and get their ideas across. Then you're going to have a whole reshuffle with the background team, and it's just Groundhog Day. So yeah, I'll definitely keep him in the meantime and see how it fares.
Right, someone else whose future is up in the air at the moment is Nathan Byrne, obviously on loan here from Wigan. Wigan haven't got a permanent manager. They might have Carl Robinson, according to some rumours, at the moment. I'm not sure exactly where those rumours have come from. Well, no, I think I know. But he came to speak to the press after the game on Monday. It's quite interesting, actually, because not long before Nathan came in, Carl come in admitting that Nathan Byrne doesn't like playing in a full-back position. So he was asked about that as well. It's quite funny.
Nathan, what sort of feeling is that? Is that relief or just overjoyed at the 3-0 victory? What sort of feeling is there with you and in the dressing room?
Yeah, so a bit of both. And obviously I think there's disappointment as well. I think the whole team know they've underachieved this year with the ability and players that we have got here. But we're just trying to win the last 5 games when we were looking at it. A few games ago, and that's all we can do. And I think the focus is building for next year and really having a go for it.
You look at the side that's just won 3-0, and there's not a lot of difference between that one and the side that hasn't performed in other areas, so that must add to the frustration.
Yeah, no, definitely. It's only down to us at the end of the day, and I think all the boys know that there's been games where we haven't turned up or haven't perform to our full capability, and obviously that's disappointing for us, and obviously I'm sure that's frustrating for the fans as well.
Part of the reason possibly you've had to step in again today at left back, in defence, because to replace injured players or players that need a break, has that added to the problems of the squad?
I think this team has been plagued with more injuries than many teams, I think, in not just this division but in the Football League. But that is football at the end of the day, and whoever can play should be putting the performances in. So obviously it is a frustration, but that's what a squad's for, really.
But you slotted in at right back, clean sheet, so you must be happy with that.
Yeah, obviously it's not my number one position, but no, I'm happy to do a job for the team, and the main thing was that we got the clean sheet, and we knew that we would get chances, and that happened.
Well done.
Carl Robinson said in here a minute ago that you hate playing at right back. Is that fair to say that?
Yeah, it's not far off it. Obviously he came to me the other day and said you're going to have to play there, and obviously when he come around first time, when before I signed it, I spoke to the assistant Richie and I said, yeah, I'd love to come as long as I'm not playing right back. And then Souls has obviously got a red and I had to fill in for 3 games, then got injured, so I had to fill in for another 4 or 5 games. So I've spent a lot of time there, but I'm happy I'm playing. That's the main thing. And it's been a frustrating couple of years for me personally. So getting on the pitch is a good feeling, and I'm really enjoying it here.
So what's the worst part of playing at right back compared to playing on the wing?
1v1 defending.
Okay.
Yeah, when someone's doing what you like to do to them, when it's turned around and they're running at you, it's not very enjoyable.
No. In terms of the loan, obviously up at the end of the season, have you got any thoughts about what you'd like to happen and stuff like that, despite playing right back at times? Would you like to stay at Charlton, or is that a discussion to be had once the season's finished?
Yeah, no, well, I love this club and I'm enjoying my time here, but I'm just focusing really on the last 2 games now and see what happens, really.
Yeah. But have you seen enough here that you think next season can be a bit different, as you say?
Definitely. I knew when I came in a few of the players, and I know the talent that is in the dressing room. And like I said, us as a team have really underachieved this year. And I think next year, I think a pre-season with the manager will really help the boys, so we can nail down what he really wants to do, get in the players he wants. And I'm certain that the Charlton will be out there next year.
Ricky Holmes has been a model of consistency pretty much in a fairly patchy season, hasn't he? That's 11 goals this season. You sort of take him out of the team, it's quite a scary thought, isn't it, really, in terms of what he's contributed this season?
Yeah, well, that's what you've got main players for, I think. I think you look at every football team in the world, you look at them and in a season there's two, three stand-up players, and that's just how it is. So next year that could be Josh McGinnis, it could be Tony Watt, it could be Lee Novak. So that's football, and Ricky has been incredible this season.
Eventually manages to turn it, falls to Tony Watt!
Yeah! Tony Watt
strikes it into the far post.
Charlton Live. From the home of time. Home of time. This is Maritime Radio. Greenwich.
I don't do mine, I let my missus does it. He obviously gets bullied and lets his missus, he does it.
Charlton Live.
Well, that's the first time I've heard that in a couple of weeks. He's never going to get old. I mean, if Crofts is released, I mean, we are still allowed to play that.
I hope so. The best thing he's done for us.
I have to double check with Ofcom laws, but I think I'm allowed to still play that.
I reckon that'll be all right.
And if we're not, then I might just slip Roland's like $2,000 a week, whatever it costs.
We're still playing Carol Fry.
Yeah, oh yeah, exactly, yeah. I was listening back to don't ask me why, I was listening back to some old interviews today, and I was listening back to that one at Burnley. Take some beating, that one. That's some timeless content right there. Right, I've got an email in from Mark Newbury. It says, evening guys, there's always good players released from teams at the end of season. So if we still have Carl Robertson as manager, I have a good feeling he'd pick up the players he thinks can suit his system. I don't mind about losing Rudd, as Phillips should be there, should be more than capable of keeping in League One, so drop the Deadwood, I think he means Crofts there, and get Jacko. coaching more so we can start next season running. That's from Mark Newbury. Isn't it such a shame that the way the end of season's shows finishes is on the same day as a match day? So I don't know if Mark's going to be able to bring food and stuff. But I mean, the offer is open, Mark, but obviously it would include you bringing food to the game and then hanging around for a few hours. But if you want to bring me food, then just bring me food. Bring
just
me food.
Feed Lewis. Yeah. Just feed the Lou and he will talk.
Yeah. one of the more memorable chants they have on the terraces of the valley there. Right. Now, you guys may remember about a month ago, I think, or so, we had a friend of ours, friend of the show, used to be on the show, of course, Alex Steadman, was on the show because he was telling us about his testicular cancer. Now, before we start talking about Steadman, this is what happened for him on... this is part of what happened for him on Monday.
The tunnel is extended. And Alex Steadman leads the two sides, holding the match ball out onto the valley surface.
So there we go. That was Alex Steadman leading the two teams. That was Men's Health Day here on Monday at the valley, and the club asked Alex to lead the two teams out, and obviously he did that. I mean, it's first time I've seen Alex in a while. So it's obviously with what he's going through, it's quite sad to see him in the situation he's in, but the way everyone's come around with him, and he's got to lead the teams out. Jacko gave him a shirt beforehand, was great. And now, since then, it's all clear, lads.
Good news.
Alex has revealed now that he got the news off. It was Tuesday or Wednesday. It was literally a couple of days after that the treatment's worked. All these markers are back to normal. He texts me and Benji during the morning. We were like, wow, that's such good news. And I sort of said to him, that's pretty one-sided, to be honest, mate. You've battered that. And then he's tweeted out, and everyone's absolutely delighted. So I thought I'd share that for you, those of you who possibly aren't on Twitter or whatever, who listen to the show. And we'll offer an update from Steadman. It's great news to hear, isn't it?
Yeah, fantastic news, yeah. And it was, great to see him lead the teams out. Great to be a part of that day. I'd seen a photo on his Twitter earlier of him, like, stood around all the shirts that he's had donated already, and obviously, as you say, Jacko added to that as well. And yeah, to then see that news on Twitter the next day was obviously just the end to a great couple of days for him after what's been a really rough few months. And yeah, good luck to him. It sounds like it's all clear now. And yeah, brilliant.
Yeah, excellent stuff. Right. Now, I promise you that tonight we will reveal the special interview we've got lined up for Sunday show. And now is the time to do that, I think. I want you to cast your minds back 5 years to the 2011-12 season. It was a very, very memorable campaign in SE7. And now this man is going to tell us how it happened.
There were times where I suppose people doubted us a little bit, but we were top from September the 17th, and we never left there until the end of the season.
Oh yes, that's right. Thanks to Matt Wright and our friends at Voice of the Valley Fanzine, we're going to mark the 5-year anniversary of our record-breaking promotion from League One as champions by hearing from the Addicts legend who masterminded that triumph, Sir Chris Powell. I am buzzing for a bit of Chrissy Powell on Sunday. I mean, that's great. That's great news, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a nice little teaser. Can't wait to hear the rest of it. So yeah. Obviously he's going to have quite a few stories and a lot of more insight in depth the whole season, which seems like more than 5 years ago.
Yeah, a lifetime ago, doesn't it?
Absolute years. But so it'd be really good on Sunday, so looking forward to it.
Yeah, really, really looking forward to that. Thanks to Matt Wright and to the Voice of the Valley fanzine. It was Matt who did the interview a few weeks ago. Obviously you would have read bits of it in the Voice of the Valley. These are the sort of added bits, really. So yeah, like I say, really excited to hear that. And hopefully Matt's gonna come in as well. Obviously Matt was working at the club on during that time, so I'm looking forward to speaking to him about it as well. Like you say, it feels like more than 5 years ago, but I mean there's so many stories that can come out of that, and I'm so excited. I'm so glad we're ending the season with something this big, and I'm really grateful to Matt for it. But it's just to hear the man's voice again.
Whew. Even that, yeah.
I started crying when I heard it.
I've given up on watching those Channel 5 shows now, mainly down to Charlton, but partly because they're just pretty dreadful anyway. But every time Powell's on, I end up watching just to see him and hear him. And he's just, everyone says he's just one of the nicest blokes in football, and we're lucky enough to have him associated with our club, not just as a manager but as a player as well. And yeah, I can't wait to hear what he has to say. And I don't know, hopefully it's not the last time he's on these airwaves.
Yeah, hopefully not. Freddie tweeted earlier saying that I liked Nathan Byrne until he said that Novak could be a standout player. he's not... I nearly laughed when he said that as well. Mm. There is other stuff to talk about. I mean, we haven't been on since, so it was last Wednesday that the takeover news sort of broke again about the potential of Australian consortium coming in for the club. What have you guys made of that? I mean, what do we know so far? I mean, there's Australian Football Consortium, they're called. That's pretty much all we know. It sounds like they had a website that said they wanted to buy a failing English club and get it into the Premier League. Now, there's rumours in the Daily Mail, the Mail Online, which ran the story, that the deal was going to be worth £20 million, which seems quite low. And then it wasn't in the story, but from a Mail journalist, I don't think it was the same one who wrote the story, but from a Daily Mail journalist, the tweet came out that they believed that the deal wouldn't involve buying the Valley. They believe that Roland would own the Valley and we'd lease it to him. And again, you know, we don't know if that's true or not. We don't know if that's certain. But I mean, when you hear that sort of thing, does it worry you, or aren't you in the position now where you just want Roland's running of the club itself to be gone, and you don't care if he keeps hold of the Valley as long as we can still play here?
Yeah, see, that's going to be the that's the key thing, because I mean, not owning the ground doesn't sit well with me at all. It feels a lot sort of like Ron knows at Palace, and you know, and it just doesn't sit right with us not owning our own football ground. However, on the flip side, if we was given a situation where it was like, as it's either going to stay as it is, or you have new owners but you don't have the ground, it'll be interesting to know the consensus of what everyone would pick and see. You wouldn't want either, but if that was the only choice you had, what one would you do? Mm. And that's it doesn't sit right for me at all. So
yeah, I mean,
I'd lean towards it for now and then hope in the future. But
look at other clubs who don't own their ground. And I mean, the standout one, we played them last Good Friday. Coventry City. I mean, I was speaking to, if you heard the little bite-sized podcast, you would have heard the interview with Coventry City fan, really well-named Steve Brown, who I spoke to before the game at the Valley, and I spoke to him again. He was telling me all about the problems they have at Coventry, but he was even saying it sounds like they might even have to move out and go and play at the rugby ground. Mm. Now, I went past the rugby ground on the train. It's a tiny ground.
What, Bus Park?
Whatever the Coventry rugby ground is.
It's 4,000, isn't it?
Yeah. So all these sort of, like, I mean, when you don't own your ground, then you are at the, you know, you're under the pressure of someone else. As soon as they say, actually, no, I want £1 million a day, I want £25 million Sheffield United wage budget, apparently, to play at the ground. I mean, that is when you're in trouble, and that's what a danger could be. But on the other side, it could be, well, if you get signed with Roland, that this is the deal, you can't change the deal, this is the deal for the next 50 years, if we get into the Premier League, we'll buy it off you, whatever, that's your insurance for not getting all your money back now. I mean, wheeling and dealing. That is a possible thing, but it doesn't sit right for me personally, because, I mean, this place is very important to us, and I think it's very important that we have someone who we trust in charge of it, rather than someone who appears to not like us very much.
Yeah, I completely agree. I think Charlton Football Club and the Valley just go hand in hand, and it doesn't sit right with me either. I think obviously we all want Roland to go. I think we have to be careful about who we get in still, but the main thing is that they buy everything. They don't just buy the club, because, as you say, you see stories of so many other clubs having to leave their ground. We've had to do it before, maybe not for the same reason, but we've had to do it before, and we don't want to have to go through that again. Obviously, in an ideal world, Roland will sell everything to someone, and that's how we'll move on. But if he doesn't, I think we need to be careful about the way that that's all handled. I think the main positive really to take out of it is, even if this Australian consortium isn't the one that pulls through, it sounds like he's actually willing to talk to people about selling the club now. And that's a big turn from the club's still official stance, but also from where we were 2 or 3 months ago, where it really seemed like he wasn't interested in the slightest. So I think we've all just got to keep the faith in that and trust that maybe some other bids will come through, or maybe this one has a bit more legs and they're kind of fine-tuning all of those aspects.
It's probably also worth remembering, I mean, that news was a week ago now. Excuse me, a week is a long time in football, as they say, but it's not actually, in terms of what we're hearing, we're not hearing much more out in the public domain, are we? So we don't know if the Australians are still the ones who we're expecting. If there's other people in the background, well, I'm certain there are other people in the background, there will be. This is a football club that will be a very tempting one to buy for certain people, I'm certain. We're a week behind now on that, and we haven't heard much more because of that's how it works. There's non-disclosure agreements getting put in place with this sort of stuff. Stuff happens behind the scenes. Who knows, basically?
Yeah, I mean,
is it still positive? We don't know. Is it taking a long time because they're struggling to find a price?
Yeah, well, it could be
the deal.
Yeah, it could be a flip reverse. It could be that they showed an interest, but they're now just being put up as a dummy, so it's making other consortiums think, oh, hang on, they might be close here. Let's try and kick on with our bid to try and get it. It could be anything. So I'm in the camp of, you know, don't look into it too much. Have a bit of optimism, but don't get, you know, because it's always the hope that kills you. So don't try and get overboard of it and Google everything about the people. Just let it go until you've heard from someone who knows what they're talking about, or when it's on the official site, then you get excited.
Well, I wonder if it'll be before the new official site starts. Will it be on the old official site or the new official site? Should we take bets?
I don't care which one, it's obviously the one that's done.
Mark Newbury can come in on the last day of the season, so we're in business here, so expect a very high attendance from Charlton Live members now.
Everyone will be
after a feat.
Especially after a couple of beers as well.
Yeah. last year it was those delicious cupcakes, but yeah. I can't remember what year it was, if it was 2 years ago. Oh my god, the mini
shepherd's pies
were the best things I've ever. He struggled to do that because.
He's got to bring it, though.
Yeah, he's got to bring it here.
Unless we can sort of try and figure out a way of somewhere where you can put them before and keep them safe.
Set up a little stove in the corner.
Yeah.
We'll get him cooking during the show.
Let's have a look around here. What can we use? We've got a heater and we've got an aircon unit.
That'll be fine.
Yeah.
We've got cold and hot stuff.
You can tell I'm hungry, yeah, because now we've got distracted by the football stuff. There's quite a lot of stuff going on, really.
I just got distracted by that image he posted of a cake.
Yeah, exactly.
That's for me.
Yeah, right, there are other stuff that's going on this week. Now, Cardiff announced their plans some of their plans for the protest at the final home game of the season, which is next Sunday against Swindon Town. Don't forget, it's a 12:15 kickoff here at the Valley, so make sure you're out of bed early. But Cardiff released this following statement today. It said that Cardiff is calling on Charlton fans opposed to the club's current ownership to assemble at the Valley 1 hour before the midday. Oh, so it's a midday kickoff, so I'm wrong already. For the season's final game at home to Swindon Town. So that's 11 o'clock. They want people to be there. Cardiff wants as many protesters as possible to meet at 11 by the big Charlton badge at the rear of the North Stand to join a major demonstration, details of which will be revealed on the day. It's also urging fans to turn up in black and white, even if they plan to turn up and still boycott the match. Protesters who intend to go in are being encouraged to buy seats in the lower west stand, so obviously near the director's box. The Card spokesperson said that at the end of yet another season of failure from this dishonest and incompetent regime, we are urging Charlton fans to send the owner and chief executive, Catherine Mayer, the clearest possible message that they will never be accepted at the Valley. A poll carried out this month by Charlton Athletic Supporters Trust among nearly 1,500 fans, 43% of whom are current season ticket holders, showed that 94% now feel negative about Charlton's future under Du Châtelet, and 89% want protest to continue. These are overwhelming and irretrievable numbers. Far from learning lessons and building bridges, Du Châtelet and Mayer are inflicting even greater damage on the club by wasting more money and systematically destroying Charlton's supporters base. They must go now. So there's a bit more on that. If you want to read it, I'm sure you can head over to the Card social media channels. But I mean, that's another big statement, and it sounds like they're going to go off with a bang again. Slightly awkward this time, and it does mention it further down in the statement, they're going to be considerate of Swindon's league position, because if Swindon looking at the table and probably need a result to stay up or to have a chance to stay up, so I mean that'll probably colour the way they decide to do things. But Yeah, still, it's still a big, still a chance for Charlton fans to send a message if they wish to do so.
Yeah, that was what I was going to sort of say as well. So, even if you know we people have a right to protest and stuff, if by a chance that they're not already, if they're already relegated, then fine. But I mean, if Swindon have got something to play for, then yeah, it makes it a bit different because we still have to be disrespectful, like they did, be respectful rather than that, which they just said. But yeah, so it'd be interesting to see how many people turn up, because obviously people that actually have been boycotting games and stuff, if how many they all turn up. And obviously we don't know what's happening until obviously the day when they usually announce it. So yeah, I don't know, it's what to expect really. I mean, they always seem to surprise me and everyone else when they come up with their sort of plan. So, but yeah, I don't know if I'll be there exactly, because A, it's early, and B, if it is early, I might be in the pub, so I don't know. I still haven't decided yet.
So early, so you have a time limit for going to football, but you don't have a time limit for going to a pub, right?
No, because then you can get there for open.
As if you aren't still there from last night.
Take a sleeping bag.
Right, so that's something to look forward to. Also, Steve Gannon, now as revealed by Carl Robertson during the BBC Radio London interview on Monday, Steve Gannon's come in as the head of recruitment, his former QPR coach. He was at QPR, I think, for nearly 20 years.
He's, say, it was a long time.
Yeah, his latest role was as a first team coach, but he was a youth coach before that. He also managed some random Hong Kong team. I think they're called like Hong Kong Pegasus for a year. No idea how he got on there, but when I tweeted out about him joining, I got a QPR fan responding. He's a couple of QPR fans. They seem to be quite positive about him. So he also has a good reputation at the Hoops. So now this is interesting. Carl Robinson bringing in his own man, someone he's known for 15 years. Whereas start of this season, it was Stephen Head. Was it something Head?
Steve Head. Yeah,
Steve Head, who came in before Russell Slade even came in. So not his own man.
Yeah.
Now he's gone. Own man. I mean, that suggests a slight change in stuff. I mean, it might be too little today. It also makes people question, oh, does that mean they're not selling? I mean, I don't know if that proves anything. They have to run business as normal until the day they sell, surely.
Definitely.
But, interesting appointment.
Yeah, and I think Carl said, or one of them said, that he's going to kind of oversee the other scouts. He said he's had a long-standing relationship with Carl Robinson, so...
Professional, we must add. Yeah.
Well, yeah, as far as we're aware.
Thought the Tony Hardy
But I think that's going to be really important, because, as he said, he knows what a Carl Robinson player is, and if they've got that dynamic and he knows what Carl wants for a player, and Carl knows that he can trust his scout to go out and find that, then we've got more chance of actually getting players in who can, one, play to the system Carl wants, and two, do a job in this league, as opposed to just bringing in any old random because their stats are good on Football Manager. We're going to have someone in who both of them trust to do a job, and if you've got any trust in Robinson or in him as an experienced scout of the British leagues, you would think, therefore, we're going to stand a better chance next season.
So that's interesting. It'll be interesting to see how that goes. Like I say, he's seen well. You know, you base it off the fact he was at QPR for a long time, which tends to mean he would have been well respected and probably quite good at what he does. Yeah. There's a couple of quotes from him on the Charlton website. I mean, it's all about he's very, very pleased to have joined Charlton. I've known Carl for 15 years. We came up the same way in coaching through schoolboys, reserves, and as assistants. He's gone on to do incredibly well, and we've kept in touch throughout. There's a trust there. I trust him. He trusts me. So I mean, that is important. And Carl sort of mentioned the other day, I'm very pleased to be working with Steve. He knows what I expect. He's a pro licensed coach. He's got a great eye for a player. So I mean, it all sounds positive. Proof's in the pudding. Also, it's no good being a great head of recruitment if you then aren't allowed to buy the players you want. So that's another thing as well. So that'll be interesting to see how that cracks on. For the sake of the club, I hope it goes well.
Yeah.
Right, so go ahead to we've got 4 minutes left. Let's look ahead to Saturday's game with the already relegated Chesterfield. It's bizarre how our end of the season is completely involved in relegating teams and playing teams who are very near to being relegated. So we've relegated Coventry, Chesterfield. Someone's beaten us to relegating Chesterfield, but we can stick another nail in the coffin. We can rub it in. Then on the last day of the season, we could easily relegate Swindon. Obviously, we didn't help Gillingham out at all in their relegation battle. So it's going to be interesting game.
Yeah, I think they'll go one or two ways, won't they? I think sometimes when you get to this stage of the season and your fate has already been sealed, you play a little bit more free. I know we've done that in the past.
Remember, after we sealed our staying up against Watford, we had a really good win up at Blackpool, for example,
so,
that season.
You know, I know relegation is obviously very different to that, in that they're obviously going to be gutted, but maybe they'll come out and just, you know, give their fans something to cheer towards the end of the season. Alternatively, that relegation might have crushed them, and we'll, you know, do them quite comfortably.
Let's do them, lads.
That's what I'd like. Yeah obviously.
It's party time now for us. I mean, we're having our
We've got nothing to worry about now, so we can come out and play free, expansive football. And Carl can start to try some of the players for next year.
I see him all the away fans are going in Hawaiian shirts with beach balls and that sort of thing to celebrate another year in League One. Chesterfield are in disarray at the moment. Obviously, they've just got relegated. They're also currently, Sadiq El Fattori, one of their players, has gone missing since Wednesday, and he's going to be fined.
If they can find him.
Yeah, he's not reported back to the club after being given Thursday off for personal reasons, and the player will be fined in accordance with our code of conduct. So it's chaos at the Pro Act. Chaos that we hope to take advantage of. I mean, now, Nath, do you think with safety assured now, do you bring in youth players? Do you give George Lapsley a game?
No, because I want us to finish top of this 15-team league. I wouldn't make radical changes. I'd like to see Dills get the game. I would like to see Dills get a game.
Interesting.
Cashy get a game, and Mitov up front. No, I'm joking. No, Lapsley maybe not. I'd like to see Duke still, if possible.
Yeah.
What Bataka and all them lot, I wouldn't play them. I would.
The loneys,
because it's a nothing game. They haven't got unless he wants to keep them next year.
Mm.
Like Bernie and Jay, I think
that's the same with Rudd as well. Yeah. If Rudd starts, you would think he's going to start.
I mean, Colt did talk after the Good Friday game that he does say that there's lots of people who are here who want them, and we're included in that. Right, we've run out of time, so let's just quickly do our predictions for the game of Chesterfield, Tom.
4-0.
4-0 to them Addicts or to them Spirites?
To them Charltons.
To them Charltons. Nathan?
4-1, Charlton.
Charlton, yeah?
Yeah.
All right. 0-0. Right, this has been Charlton Live, the big match preview. I hope you've enjoyed it. Don't forget to tune in on Sunday's show, when we're going to hear from Chris Powell as we look back at 5 years since that superb promotion season from League One. Tom and Nathan, thanks for joining me this evening.
Cheers, everyone, boy.
Hope you've all enjoyed the penultimate big match preview of the season. We'll be back on Sunday with that Chris Powell interview and to look back at the Chesterfield game. We'll see you later.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.